This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 388. And I have to say, life just continues to get more and more fascinating. The changes in our society, how things are moving forward, how people are conceptualizing and writing about society. It's really fascinating. And it's going to be fascinating to see how all of this unwraps over the next 10, 20 years, because it is going to unwrap. And it's a great time to be the age that I am, because I'm going to be 58 here in a little bit, about a month and a half. And you know what? Two months. Because this is September 1st and my birthday is November 1st, so that's 2 months. You know what? It's going to be great, because I'm going to be retiring just about the time when everything is hitting the fan. And I'm just going to be able to sit back and watch. Because frankly, I don't know where some of this stuff is going. It's going to be fascinating. Anyways, it's been a good week. Had a big meeting this week with the executives of the division that I'm working with at my major client, and that seemed to go just fine. You know, we had a good meeting, and they voted to move forward, had a lot of information I gave them, and I think most of it was entirely accurate. I realized afterwards I could quoted one statistic, and I thought, that is the statistic I was given, wasn't it? I didn't actually go look it up. It really didn't matter at that point. It was just one statistic, but I just thought, did I say the wrong thing? I try to be very accurate when I communicate information. But anyways, that meeting went well. That was on Wednesday. So that was good. But that's always, you know, nice when it goes well and you're moving on to the next thing, because you always want to do well and you're doing technical demonstrations and you want to make sure that everything's works like it's supposed to and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, it seemed to had a little hiccup here and there and had a bad mouse I was working with, but we made it. We made it. It was good. Had a good day today. We had a little bump come up on a project that's supposed to be going to full beta in 2 weeks here, and then that led to other discussions about things, really fascinating discussions. I mean, just fascinating discussions. And I may actually mention that a little bit today, and I just sure hope I handled those discussions as well as I could have. I hope. So, there you go. But yeah, it's a fascinating life. Plugging along, doing the rough read-through of book 5. Last couple of days, I felt like, you know, a little bit off, specifically yesterday. I was really rushed yesterday. So there have been some things I just left myself a note and just said, come back to this later, which I will. Because I have a second read-through to do. So that's coming up. We are actually having family come up this weekend, which will be cool. It'll be great to see them again, because it's been a while since we've seen them. But, you know, of course, it's just so many hours in the day. So, but that's okay. It's going to be really, really good to see them. So we'll get picked up. I'm a little bit ahead now anyway, so that will probably just put me back on schedule, which is okay, because the schedule is fine. And the plan and the hope is to order the books before wedding anniversary, which is September 24th. So if I can get the books ordered by them, they'll be in the next week, and then I'll mail them out to everybody, and ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. And so it's good. It's good. It's good. Everything is puttering along. Had some nice conversations with friends this week. I think that was this week. Was it this week? Yes. Yes. I was supposed to have two, and I ended up only having one because, excuse me, I dropped the ball on the other one. Could have done it. And I woke up Saturday morning or Sunday morning going, I was supposed to get in touch with my buddy and get together with him yesterday. But that's okay. I touched base with him and he said, well, I know we had kind of talked about it, but we really didn't have anything firm. I said, oh, okay. Good. So that's puttering along. Think I'm having breakfast with a buddy tomorrow, and I may be having breakfast with another buddy on Saturday. So yay. I always enjoy getting together with my friends and talking about stuff. Speaking of talking about stuff, I came across an article because I was very interested in hearing what the author had to say, because I have mentioned several times that I believe women in general, or humans in general, and women in specific, drink to try to quiet the tumult within. And for women, it's basically drinking to try to quiet the tumult of fear within. And so the name of this article was, Giving Up Alcohol Opened My Eyes to the Infuriating Truth About Why Women Drink. So I thought, well, let's just see. There is a truth that the author comes to at the end of all this, but simply because I believe in flesh and spirit, and because that's really the only hammer I have in life and everything else is a nail, it's kind of interesting, and it's a good thing that not many people listen to this podcast, because if they did, I would be accused of mansplaining and probably be raked across the coals by the time I finish this podcast. But you know what? That's okay. Everybody has a right to their own opinions. And I'm a big believer in that. I have believed in that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. My whole nitpickers thing was based on that. Everybody has a right to their own opinions. And my whole nitpickers thing was based on the fact that I love discussions. So, you know, if you run across somebody who says, well, this is the way it is, and I don't need no man explaining anything to me, well, okay, I hope that works out for you. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to stop talking, as we talked about last week. So anyways, giving up alcohol opened my eyes to the infuriating truth about why women drink. And so the author starts the article by saying that she is newly sober and she is dog paddling through the booze all about her. And, so she talks about how Whole Foods has planted rosé throughout the store and how close there is to liquor stores everywhere, and how that every time you turn around, someone is trying to sell you more booze. She talks about how when she was traveling for work, she has to steal herself from the company sponsored wine tasting. She said, skipping is not an option. She said, my plan is to work the room with soda and lime and then make sure I'm seen by the five people who care about these things. before and leave before things get sloppy, which they always do. Said she walked up to the bartender and she asked for a club soda and gets a blank stare. She says, well, fine, what about just water then? And she says, the bartender, I think there's a water fountain in the lobby. She said, there is, but it's broken. So she said, I mingle empty-handed for about 15 minutes, fending off well-meaning offers to get me something from the bar. Said, after the fifth, I've realized I'm going to cry. If one more person offers me alcohol, I leave and cry anyways. Later, I order vanilla ice cream from room service to cheer myself up. And the person who is taking the order says, people love this with a shot of bourbon poured over it. Okay. Oy. So, she said that summer she realized that everyone around her is tanked. But she said, it also dawns on me that the women are super double tanked. That is, to be a modern, urbane woman means to be a serious drinker. You know, for those of out here, us out here in the Midwest, we got the gist of that. You know, when we look at them urbane people, yeah, we can tell they're drinking a lot. And it's been my opinion for some time now that people are drinking a lot to numb themselves, which is kind of sad. So she goes through a lot of examples. And she, you know, talks about wearing some shoes to, she said, one day that summer, I'm wearing unwise but cute, so cute shoes, and I trip at the farmer's market, cracking my phone, blood staining the knees of my favorite jeans, and scraping both palms. Naturally, I post about it on Facebook as soon as I've dusted myself off. Three women who I don't know soberly comment quickly. Who don't know I'm sober, comment quickly, quote, wine, period, immediately, period, unquote. Quote, do they sell wine there, unquote. Quote, definitely wine and maybe new shoes, unquote. So, I mean, she's just inundated with all this. She said, she said, have I mentioned it's morning when this happens on a weekday and this isn't one of those nightclub farmers markets and the women aren't the kind of beleaguered, downtrodden creatures you imagine drinking to get through the day. They are pretty cool chicks, the kind people ridicule for having first world problems. Why do they need to drink? And so this apparently is the answer that she has come to being sober. And I think this is her infuriating answer. Well, maybe it's because even cool chicks are still women. And there's no easy way to be a woman because, as you may have noticed, there's no acceptable way to be a woman. And if there's no acceptable way to be a thing you are, then maybe you drink a little or a lot. Okay. And she goes through, you know, and how that at work she was asked to be on a panel because she needed to be the woman on the panel to tell interns. And so, you know, she goes through how that she was contradicted by all these men about what it was like to be a woman working at the company. You know, and so, and there's, you know, a lot of that stuff. And afterwards, she and the panel organizer fume about it. She says, what's a girl to do when a bunch of dudes have just told her in front of an audience that she's wrong about what it's like to be herself? And she said, I could talk to them one by one and tell them how I felt. I could tell the panel organizers, this is why you should never have just one of us up there. I could buy myself a human superhero costume and devote the rest of my life to vengeance on mansplainers everywhere. She said, I round up some girlfriend and we spend hundreds of dollars in a hipster bar drinking rye Manhattan and eating tapas and talking about the latest crappy non-gender blind things that happened to us in meetings. and on business trips and at performance reviews. They toast me for taking one for the team. And when we are all good and numb, we Uber home thinking, look at all we've earned. The bar with the twinkly lights, that miniature food, this chauffeured black car. We are tough enough to put up with being ignored and interrupted and underestimated every day and laugh it off together. We made this. This is the good life. Nothing needs to change. So anyways, you know, and this goes on for multiple pages about all the things that are offending her, all the things that are terrible. And she goes on and says, is it really that hard being a first world woman? Is it really so tough to have a career and the spouse and the pets and a herb garden and the core strengthening and the, oh, I just woke up like this makeup and the face injections and the Uber driver who could possibly be a rapist? Is it really so hard to work 10 hours for your rightful 77% of a salary, walk home past a drunk who invites you to suck his cock, and turn on TV to hear the men who run this country talk about protecting you from abortion regret by forcing you to grow children inside your body? So she has a very specific viewpoint about what life is like. Very specific. And she goes on and relates more stories about difficult things to endure, and you know, and you read this, and I was just reminded. She said, I go to a stationery store. Eventually, she gets to this part. I go to a stationery store to buy a card for a girlfriend. I couldn't keep it together enough to track greeting cards occasions when I was drinking. So it's been a while since I've visited a shop card. There are three themes in the female to female cards. Being old as blank, men are from Mars, and wine. Quote, wine is to women as duct tape is to men. It fixes everything. Quote, I make wine disappear. What's your superpower? Quote, Lord, give me coffee to change the things I can and wine to accept the things I cannot. So, she says, newly sober women have a lot of wonderful qualities, but lack of judginess is not one of them. I don't just stand there mentally tisting at the cards. I actually physically shake my head at them like Mrs. Grundy. Are you sure you can't change those things, I think? And have you stopped to the point, and have you stopped to think that if you need ethanol, yes, at this point of sobriety, I call wine ethanol. Don't you wish you could have hung out with me then to accept them, maybe because, and maybe it's because they're unacceptable. Anyways, she said, the longer I'm sober, the less patient I have with being a 24-hour woman. The stranger who tells me to smile, the janitor who stares at my legs, the men on TV who want to annex my uterus, even other TV men who say abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. What the blankety-blank business is it of yours whether it's rare or not, I think. She said, the magazines are telling me that strong is the new sexy and smart is the new beautiful, as though strong and smart are just paths to hot. The Facebook means muscles are beautiful, no weight, fat is beautiful, no weight, thin is beautiful too, as long as you don't have to work for it, no weight. All women are beautiful, as though we are toddlers who must be given exactly equal shares of princess dust or we'll lose our shit. And then I start to get angry at women too. Not for being born wrong, but for failing to dismantle 1,000 years of patriarchy on my personal timetable. Or that, but for being so easily mollified by a bottle. For thinking that the right to get as trashed as a man means anything else but the right to be useless. What says a woman I enjoy arguing with. So they can get blanked up and we have to look after him, after them? No, I tell her, we have to look after ourselves. That still doesn't seem fair, she says, not unreasonably. We can't afford our lives. We can't afford to live lives. We can't afford to live lives. We have to fool our own central nervous system into tolerating. But who said anything about fairness? This isn't about fair. It's about what we can afford. And we can't afford this. We can't afford to pretend it's time that everything that we do or think or wear or say, yes or no, is somehow wrong. We can't afford to act like it's okay that girls can do anything got translated somewhere along into the line, women must do everything. We can't afford to live lives. We have to fool where we fool our... I'm driving and reading at the same time. So, where we fool our own central nervous system into tolerating, etc. For we can't afford to be 24-hour women. I couldn't afford to be a 24-hour woman, but it didn't stop me from trying until it shattered me. So she goes on and she goes on, you know, and then she sees a bridal party and, you know, she's meeting a friend and the bridal party is getting smashed and her friend aren't, and they like being on this side of the pool and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, my godson, hey, goodies, my godson, we've chatted about a lot of these things, and, you know, bless his heart, I'll be really surprised if he gets married, because he enjoys talking to women, and he enjoys spending time with women, there's no problem there, it's just, he doesn't see any need to get attached to something if they're... I mean, he looks at the cost-benefit ratio, and he just thinks, yeah. And I mean, he's a good-looking guy, a kind guy, very sweet, gentle. But he's just looking at this whole situation. And he tells me, he actually directs music for a church, and he's worship leader, and he says, you know, so many women, I'm backing into my garage, at the church, he said that they're so angry. And I said, I know, buddy. A lot of people are really angry. And it's a shame. It's sad that people are angry. Because no matter what you say about life and what you're experiencing, and I know I'm a white guy and I have privilege. I recognize the privilege I have. But I'm also a white guy who has experienced some sadness and hardship in life. And I'm also a white guy who has faced some challenges. But there's been a lot of really amazing stuff has happened in my life. And I know without a doubt that some of that stuff would not have happened if I had taken some of the challenges that I had faced and decided to become bitter and angry and just walked around all day deciding that life was horrible, which I've actually had some inputs into my life that could allow me to reach that conclusion. You know, but I have chosen something. I have chosen to understand that all around me, there are people who are making different choices about how they feel about life. And I have seen how those choices affect long-term their attitudes and really their opportunities in life. You know, I mentioned last week that my daughter told me that she, when she was in high school, didn't first and foremost think of herself as a woman. And maybe that's what the author of this article is really getting to. Because we do have a definition of a woman in this country that is not healthy. But then the question becomes, at least for me, is it not your choice to believe those things or not? Just because an advertiser puts something on, and she specifically mentions the commercial about perfume where the woman says, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, never let my man forget he's a man, blah, blah. I remember that commercial vaguely. Okay, so that advertiser is trying to sell you something. Perfume. We all know that's what's happening. The advertiser is trying to emotionally manipulate you into buying something. Why would you listen to that? And some people might just say, well, I can't help it. I can't help it. I just have to listen to that. No, no, you really don't. And I thought it's horrible for a long time how marketers prey on women's fears and insecurities. But the flip side of that is, are women required to have fears and insecurities? Certainly they can be raised to have those fears and insecurities. But does that mean that there is never any other path for them but to continually live with those fears and insecurities? In other words, is there no ability to exercise free will and to have some say in our lives? And if by living as a 24-hour woman, the author of this article is really saying, look, I'm done with that. I'm not listening to that stuff anymore. I'm not, I'm going on. That's actually positive. That's very positive. But the next step, as far as this man is concerned, is to move beyond the anger, move beyond the condemnation. Because it really never helps us long term to hold on to judgment and condemnation, and anger and envy. It never ever helps us long term. And yet, people are always allowed to have their own opinions, and they are always allowed to choose their path forward. But as my buddy has already observed, there are many, many women in his sphere who are very angry. And if not overtly, where people can pick it up just by talking to them, even if it's only covertly, it'll still eat away at your soul. And I've just got to believe that it is within all of our powers to not choose flesh, to not choose condemnation, or anger, or greed, or envy, and instead choose kindness and compassion and understanding. Granted, not often have I had someone ask if I would suck his cock. I have had a situation where someone was ramping up to ask if he could touch me. And he kind of did in a roundabout way. And I just said, no, I don't think so. But did that make me angry at him? Now, maybe if that had happened over and over and over and over, I might be inclined to get angry about that. But But I would hope I would still have a good enough knowledge of the difference between flesh and spirit to be able to choose spirit. Because for all of the privileges that I have had, the most incredible thing in my life is that I have had enough opportunities to choose spirit that I have come to understand the wondrousness of choosing spirit over flesh, and I absolutely do my best to do that. I had mentioned earlier that I had an experience today where I hope I conducted myself well. It got into one of those topics that's very different from men and women, and we were having a meeting trying to figure out how to proceed in a specific instance, and this product that we're talking about is 2 weeks from beta, and you know, it was my job to basically ask the question, is this important, without making it sound like I didn't think it was important. And so I did my best. But the fact is that I understand in my heart that it is important, but I also understand that in business, you're always making those cost-benefit choices. So I kind of folded it back to them, and then folded it back to the level of management above them, knowing that the level of management above them is a man, and knowing that he would probably have a different opinion, but that's the business structure that is, you know, and it was complicated. I was just trying to do my best in the situation. I hope I did. I hope I did. I hope I didn't give anyone the impression that I was not kind and understanding and sympathetic with the situation. By the same token, I did my best. And if someone misunderstands that and is offended at me because of that, I can understand how they would be offended at me. But unless they come to talk to me about that, there's not really much I can do about that. And I'm certainly not going to spend my life being concerned and trying to dig all that kind of stuff. Now, are you sure that you didn't? I mean, I didn't mean that, and I couldn't. Okay, no. You know, no. Let's just treat people with kindness. Let's just stay in the spirit. Let's give everybody the opportunity to choose spirit as opposed to flesh, but not require them to do that. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.